Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any old vampire movies, and we are covering the end of the movie now, and then we'll be covering the credits in another episode, but I'll be doing that by myself, but I wanted to introduce the guest who's joining me for this, Trisha Copeland, author. Thank you for joining me once again for the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
We start these minutes with the with George Clooney leaving Kate behind, and then we're in the middle of the credits. But one thing I wanted to point out that I missed in the last episode, what do you think of George Clooney's gnarly, awesome arm tattoos? I would love to get tattoos like that, but I need to get my arms as jacked up as his.
They're very good tattoos. I'm not sure anybody's tattoos in real life could look that good.
I mean, they're pretty damn sexy. I'm confident enough in my sexuality to admit that it's like, damn, George Clooney, good looking guy.
Definitely.
Kate looks like hell.
Well, you know, he took her, I mean, she was at the pool, and he took her, she had to get dressed in 3 minutes, and then they drove to Mexico, so, and she's got blood all over her, so, her brother's blood.
This is definitely a script written by a guy, don't you agree? You have your two main female leads at one point or another are both in bikinis.
Very true, very true. I was surprised at how good the dancers looked at that bar. Based on the outside, what the outside of the bar looks like.
It's, I think they're, we went through that list earlier with another 5 minutes with another host, co-host, and we talked about a lot of those people and like who they are, definitely from like casting sessions or like call outs that we need people. I remember on Game of Thrones, when anyone played like a prostitute, they definitely went out to the European adult film industry to ask people to be in the to play those parts because they figured those were the only kind of women that would be comfortable doing those scenes.
Huh, maybe so, especially back in 1996. I don't know.
Yeah, so I believe that there are definitely a couple women that just don't have any credits whatsoever other than like bar, you know, barmaid or dancer in one, dancer two, things like that. You know what I mean? There's a couple that are in a few things here and there that we went over. But I digress. Other than like the three main actors that we're familiar with in this scene, you know, Carlos's guys don't have any credits either, so I really don't know who they are. But as Kate takes off, what did you think of the fact that this is there's a bigger story here with the bar as the camera pans behind everyone leaving?
Oh yeah, it's like in the back of the bar, it's like this has been done for centuries and centuries. Like they've been taking advantage of wayward people for however many years. This same group of vampires maybe, or maybe it's just the vampire cult thing.
Yeah, it's an entire temple built into the back of the bar, or the bar is built on top of the temple. So this is going
right,
back
yeah.
centuries.
Yeah, like, that was like, amazing.
Yeah, however long the culture that existed in Mexico at the time. And you see all of the destroyed like campers. And, of course, we found out that obviously they've been raiding bikers and truckers because of all the equipment they found in the back room. You know, one of them being Kate's most awesome weapon, the crossbow.
Right, yeah. And I guess that's why at the beginning, you're like, well, why do they really only let truckers and bikers in? Because nobody would miss them, I guess. They don't, I mean, yeah. If you're driving there in Mexico and you die, not as many people will miss you, maybe?
Maybe, I believe so.
So nobody will catch on to what they're doing?
It definitely makes me never want to visit any kind of biker bar whatsoever, and I myself am a biker. I ride a 2007 Honda Shadow, 750 cc's, so I'm never visiting a biker bar now after seeing this movie.
That's a fast bike.
It is. Thank you. I enjoy it very much. It's a middle-of-the-way bike. Honestly, I'm not a big guy, so I can't ride. I don't want to ride something that's like 1,800 cc's.
Okay, yeah, my son, well, he just started riding last year, and he got, like, the 450 starter one. Oof. But now, of course, like, not even a year later, he wants the bigger one, so.
Definitely. just going back to George Clooney real quick, as the movie is ending and we got this amazing temple shot, which again, you don't learn anything about the temple until the third film. And the TV show goes into a lot of detail about it. So, and I recommend watching the TV show. I think it was really great. The funny thing is the guy who played Seth Gecko in the TV show, he was cast as Batman in George Miller's unmade Justice League movie.
Interesting.
George Miller being the director of the Mad Max films.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. The credits start to roll up, and we get our main characters, Seth Gecko, George Clooney, Richard Gecko, Quentin Tarantino, Jacob Fuller, Harvey Keitel, Kate Fuller, Juliette Lewis, Scott Fuller, Ernest Liu. Who else do we got in the credits?
Kelly Preston. She was just a newscaster.
A lot of people didn't realize Kelly Preston was in this. Yeah, she's the newscaster who interviews another familiar face, if you're familiar with the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
All right. Tom Savini seemed like a familiar face, but...
He was Sex Machine. Tom Savini, yeah. You might know him best as the makeup artist for Dawn of the Dead and Friday the 13th, and Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Interesting.
Yeah. I met Fred Williamson once upon a time. He plays Frost.
Yeah, I was surprised, and this is before this section, obviously, but like how long of a role Quentin Tarantino had in this movie. Because I think that's maybe like one of the longest roles he's had in any of his movies.
I believe so, yeah. I do also remember Quentin Tarantino in an interview, and I might be wrong, saying he kind of wishes this character had been written a little better, you know, in light of nothing that came out against him, but Harvey Weinstein, and this character being a rapist.
Yeah, that was icky. That was the ickiest part.
So I understand why Quentin Tarantino would look back at this role and go, I don't want to do a role like that again. That character could be better written. On the TV show, that character is downplayed a lot. There's allegations of him being kind of a creeper, but it's not to this extreme.
Well, yeah, I mean, Quentin Tarantino is known to go to the extremes, but it says something about, like, it didn't bother me at all that they were, you know, there were vampire guts going everywhere, but his character really did bother me.
Yeah, I could see that. It's really uncomfortable, especially with the hotel scene. We have like a credit list for this movie because and props off to the special effects makeup team. Do you know anything about them?
I don't.
They're K&B Effects Studio.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what they worked on that's most famous these days?
No, what is it?
The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Greg Nicotero and his crew. We also get great producers like Elizabeth Avalon, Lawrence Bender, John Esposito, Paul Hellerin, Robert Kurtzman, who's also on part of K&B Effects Studio, Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino, of course, executive producers. How are you a producer, executive producer, director, and a star of your own movie? How does that work out? Do you just get multiple paychecks? I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess you can do whatever you want to at that point, maybe.
It's also really funny. We do have one female producer on this movie, Elizabeth Avalon. She's also best known for films like Predators, Planet Terror, Machete, El Mariachi, the Spy Kids franchise. So obviously she's a friend of Robert Rodriguez, because I pretty much named pretty much Robert Rodriguez's filmography.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, Sin and Dame to Kill For, things like that. Lawrence Bender, executive producer. You might know him best for Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, obviously a friend of Quentin Tarantino. So you're going to see a lot of like the same kind of producers, writers, and people that worked on Quentin and Robert Rodriguez's films throughout the years.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, they probably know how to work well together, and they know each other's stuff, and yeah, they can coordinate well.
Well, as our 5 minutes end with the credits continuing on, Tricia, where can people find your books online?
They can find them on my website, which is trishacopeland.com, or on Amazon, and also audiobooks wide, as well as Barnes & Noble and Google Play. Whether you're looking for the Kingdom Journal series, which is Witches and Vampires, or a Fae Fantasy series, which is The Realm Chronicles. So both of those.
Awesome. Well, Tricia, thank you for joining me for these 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes a couple weeks ago, the Vampire Movie Minute podcast.
Thank you.
And you can find me over on the Vlada A Dracula Tale, also on Radio Horror every Sunday night from 10 to 12. And I'll be back with the last few minutes of the movie going over the credits on the Vampire Movie Minute podcast. Hot air hangs like a dead man.